AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Clear.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Soccer legend Pelé has died.
And it's Pelé! He's got it! Pelé has scored! And that is Brazil's 100th goal in the World Cup.
CBS's Steve Futterman shares a memory of Pelé.
The one time I met Pelé was in 1994. The U.S. was hosting the World Cup. He came into a room that was full of reporters. Everyone was shouting questions at Pelé. It was a bit of a media circus. He sat quietly and then suddenly, very peacefully, said to us all, silencio, silence in Portuguese. And the entire room went quiet. He had complete control over all of us.
Pelé, who won 3 World Cups, was being treated for colon cancer. He was 82 years old. Travel trauma continues for Southwest Airlines passengers after thousands of flight cancellations in recent days. CBS's Michael George is at LaGuardia Airport in New York.
Unable to reach customer service reps, exhausted travelers have scrambled to rebook with other airlines or line up for a dwindling supply of rental cars.
I think I've made my last flight on Southwest. I'm going to other airlines.
And for Southwest travelers who do finally reach their destination, those who checked a bag are facing another challenge, finding lost luggage.
I was told my luggage would arrive on the next available flight that has been sent, but so far no luggage.
The meltdown at Southwest is being blamed on outdated technology, not winter weather disruptions. If you're planning on traveling this weekend,
New Year's Eve forecast, travel troubles for both coasts, from the West Coast, where we've got active weather, to the East, where we'll see plenty of rain opportunities.
Meteorologist Alex Wilson, the vital Keystone Pipeline is back up and running. CBS's Jim Crisula has the story.
Canada-based TC Energy has put a damaged section of a key pipeline back online after repairs, inspections, and testing. A leak in the pipeline 3 weeks ago spilled 14,000 barrels of crude oil into a creek in rural northeast Kansas. The 2,700-mile pipeline carries crude oil from western Canada to the U.S. Gulf Coast.
Vivian Westwood, the fashion maverick who played a key role and punk rock's look, has died. CBS Morning's Anthony Mason spoke with her in August of 2013.
Hers was a fashion rebellion made of ripped fabric, safety pins, and S&M gear. All familiar now, but outrageous then.
And for many years, the newspapers thought of me as unwearable, nothing to do with fashion. English people are very snobby anyway. They don't like very artistic people to start with. They love me now.
This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Clear, a faster, easier way through airport security. Try today for 2 months free by visiting clearme.com/CBS22 or use code CBS20.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. You're not alone if you're turning to a food pantry for help for the first time. Since this time last year, the cost of food has gone up 12.4% according to the Consumer Price Index. WPR reporting food pantries across Wisconsin and the country are seeing a steady increase in clients. The price increase is also hitting the pantries themselves. It now costs them more to buy the food they distribute. A Southwest Airlines flight having mechanical issues landed safely at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport Wednesday afternoon. This just the latest of Southwest problems since last week's winter storm. 32 flights were canceled yesterday and a huge pile of luggage remains stacked up at the baggage claim, either waiting to be claimed or sent on to a final destination. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Do you love getting rewards when you shop? Then shop Knucklehead CBD and Vapes with the Knuckleheads Club. Every $10 spent gets you closer to 25% off. No matter what you buy, make sure you buy Knuckleheads. Stop in Saturday and Sunday and get 15% off Wellness and Wellness Plus, including Delta 8, THCP, CBD, and more, while getting points towards your next purchase.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue or online at knuckleheads.shop.
Knuckleheads CBD and Vapes, your one-stop smoke shop.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUK Radio. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
At Warner Stallion's year-end clearance.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, Henny Cup, baby.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Again, this is Native Roots Radio all over the Civic Media Network here, and we talk about Native issues, and we talk in the first part of the show. Oh, our dog's talking here. The first part of the show, sacred dog, that little Gracie. We talk about Native news and events, and why don't we get it over here to Ogama, who talks about Native news and events that you don't hear anywhere else. Welcome. Oh.
Hey, Buju relatives. This is Ogama Ganuakwe. I am a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota and coming at you from central Minnesota, Mokoche, here in the frigid North Country. And I just wanted to touch base a little bit on what's happening now that we're on the other side, it seems, of these crazy blizzard conditions that we had over the holidays, Robert. Forecasters said that this storm that we just went through, the winter storm, was nearly unprecedented in its scope. 60% of the U.S. population was under some sort of winter weather advisory or warning, which is about 200 million people. And, you know, tribes, again, as we talk about often, Robert, tribes were hit the hardest. Tribes in the Northwest, the Rocky Mountains, the Great Plains, and the Midwest battled really extreme weather conditions, including the Dakota 38 plus two riders that started in Lower Brule, South Dakota. They began on December 10th, and then they finished December 26th. And that storm came in last weekend, December 20th, but came in about the 20th in through the 25th, all the way through the Christmas holiday. And it was intense for those riders that were on that trip. But my understanding is that in some places it may have been easier to travel by horse. South Dakota, Kristi Noem, the governor, actually activated the state's National Guard to help the Rosebud Sioux tribe because they needed to get firewood because many members were stranded in their homes and there was no firewood. The Oglala Sioux tribe was using snowmobiles to reach citizens who were living in very rural rural areas. And then vehicles were breaking down in 10-foot snowdrifts, and officials considered using horses to deliver essentials to some of the homes and ended up seeking help from the federal government. Unfortunately, there was a 12-year-old boy in the Rosebud Sioux Nation who died after medical responders could not reach their home. And many people are, you know, run out of food and their houses were freezing up. Power outages left 1.4 million homes and businesses in the dark in the U.S. In Tennessee and Nashville, they were doing rolling blackouts to conserve power. And about 4,500 flights were down as well. And, you know, this type of extreme weather is becoming more common and will continue to become more common. And, you know, it's just awful, Robert, when we hear about how much our relatives have been affected by this, both in Minnesota, you know, and there's a whole article that I'm looking through on ICT and the Weather Channel and a couple of other sources right here. And you know what? Very few of them mention our unhoused relatives. And that, you know, breaks my heart as well, that, you know, they're mentioning that people couldn't get by planes, trains, or automobiles, but we have relatives who, you know, literally were outside with very little to no coverage for all of it. And, I'm sure that of the death toll that we heard about in Western New York, that some of our unhoused relatives were probably part of that as well, that may or may not even be reported in the numbers. So as we're on the other end of this massive storm and we're starting to look at possibly another winter storm coming up this weekend on the horizon, I just want to remind everybody to be safe and to start making those kind of preparedness plans for next year, because this is going to continue. Right, Robert?
Yeah, I would say very eye-opening. Yeah, I mean, really. And now we're going to have really below weather now, meaning we're going to have hotter weather here in the Twin Cities here in Minnesota, and hotter than average. So that they predicted that, too. The weathermen the weather people are really predicting this weather really well. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, predicting it is not the same as being prepared for it, you know. So just, again, reminders to people to start putting those things together to, you know, if possible, to prepare to be ready for rolling blackouts and those types of things in this type of weather. So, Robert, I know there's an article that you sent me that I wanted to touch base on with Hennepin County now having a Dakota Land and Water Acknowledgement Statement, which is fantastic. So the Hennepin County Board acknowledges, obviously, the land and water that was taken from the Native Americans, Dakota people in that area. And the document is a three-year effort that was finally read in full and approved just in November during American Indian Month in the U.S. And, you know, it was a really collaborative effort with the area's Dakota people and the Hennepin County Board. And it just really seems like it was a great partnership. The land and water acknowledgments that I have read, this is probably one of the best one, because it opens up, and I think this first sentence that it leads with is really great. It reads, as part of our commitment to address the unresolved legacy of genocide, dispossession, and settler colonialism, Hennepin County acknowledges that the magnificent land and vibrant waterways from which our institutions benefit are located upon the cultural, spiritual, and indigenous homeland of the Dakota Oyate, the Dakota Nation. And I just, unresolved, that the institutions benefit, indigenous homeland, settler colonialism. I mean, the key words of what looks like real healing are there. And I was really impressed with it. Robert, have you had a chance to read the whole statement? I think you were in person when it was read, weren't you?
Well, you know, I have ADHD, so I might not have remembered that. But what I do remember is my land acknowledgement, and they don't ask me anymore to do that because I just say, give our land back. That's my land acknowledgement, right. Give our land back. But no, I see what you're saying. And two, one of the things, too, I want to just throw out there real quick. I know we don't have a little bit time left in your segment, is that Our white allies that listen to this show, which are many, and we really appreciate that, you guys don't be coming and asking natives to come do a land acknowledgement. That's up to you to know and learn. And just throwing that out there. And what does that mean? You know what I'm saying, right, Ogama? It's like...
Yes. Do not force people of color to educate you. You need to do educating yourself first. And that is definitely something that is ongoing as well. Hey, before we run out of time, Robert, I just want to let people know, too, that the second annual Snow Snake Festival is going to be happening on Saturday, February 11th, 2023, on Madeline Island in Lake Superior at Joni's Beach. Wow. I'm heard that the big part of the Snow Snake Festival is making it on and off the island, so make sure you check in with your fellow snow snakers and people in the area if you're planning on making it out there, so that you can make it out there and also get some lodging. So just wanted to give that as a heads up.
I love Madeline Island. It's a very sacred place for Anishinaabe, and it's a great place. And I'll be in New York then, so I won't be able to make it up there, but Ogama, maybe you can do a live broadcast up there. Ho-wa. Okay, maybe not. Hey, up next, state representative, and I always want to say state senator because I think I want her to be senator. State Representative Heather Keeler up next. We got a few fun things to talk about coming up, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, this portion is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Hey, I am so happy to have State Representative Heather Keeler on. Always great to have you on, and we're revving up here to a new session, and you'll be in the Twin Cities again. And also congratulations on your victory. I don't know if we've talked since you won, because I have a good memory, but it's short.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not sure that we have either. I feel like, you know, getting through the election and coming out in a trifecta, I feel like I did one of two things. I was either spending my time resting and kind of rejuvenating with the winter solstice and really taking that into space of, you know, I know that I need to rest and have a strong foundation to go in, but then also traveling to conferences, you know, in the last month to really engage in spaces, particularly around ICWA and the work that we need to do that I'm really hoping to address at a state level. So, yeah, I'm sure I've not been here. So thanks for having me back. I'm super excited. It's crazy to think we get sworn in next week already.
I know that is crazy. And congratulations, too. And I just want to give a quick shout out to all the people that support you up there. And it was great to have you win again, and be here and, support our people. Like, I don't know, I think I must be prejudiced, Heather, but I really think you're one of the big doers at the house. So I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thanks for saying that. Yeah. And also to kind of mimic what you said, I appreciate my supporters from all over. It's crazy how, yes, I represent District 4A, which is Moorhead. Interesting enough, now I'm the only Democrat west of St. Cloud in the entire west side of Minnesota. And so, you know, we also have a lot of sovereign nations out here. And so, you know, I really come to work with a lens of not only being a voice for my district, but also very much being unapologetically Indigenous in every space that I sit in. So being able to uplift our tribal nations and their voices as well. You know, it feels like a really big task, but I learned a lot in my first session, and I feel really ready and prepared to come in and do, you know, hopefully some big things this time around. So I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the supporters, you know, the financial donors that I've had. I really wouldn't be able to get across the finish line, and I appreciate you always sharing the message of hope and love, and, you know, through my campaign as well.
Wow, I really appreciate that, too. You're an easy person to support. You don't have to really think about, oh, you know, should we support Heather? No, you're a doer. And, you know, it amazes me the more and more I get involved in politics, whether it's having this radio show. And I've always been involved, but also being my job, my full-time job, is that not everybody is a doer. So again, thank you so much. There's a lot of people that are holding space and chairs, and that's about it. So it's great. And I do mean that at the bottom of my heart that you are a doer. And not everyone is.
Thanks. Well, hopefully we keep on doing. That's what we're here to do, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So there's some exciting stuff coming up here. I'm going to be totally excited because I have the day off, and I'm going to be coming up to the Capitol.
Yeah, on Tuesday.
Right.
So, yeah, we get sworn in, all of us do on Tuesday, to start the session. And, you know, I've always kind of said, like, we as Indigenous people maybe aren't necessarily seen in the Capitol. You know, that's the people's house, as welcomed as we maybe should be. And so it's really exciting because part of our swearing in ceremony on the House side, with myself, Representative Jamie Beckerfin, and Representative-elect Alicia Kozlowski, we're doing a round dance. We're doing a pop-up round dance in the rotunda with our drums. You know, this isn't like an agenda event. This isn't about us as politicians. It's really about starting off the session in a good way and having our allies there with us, bringing our tribal leaders, you know, actually into this space with us. I think it's interesting that as a state of Minnesota, we have, you know, we enacted tribal consultations as part of this work. You know, as we move policies and bills into law, we are supposed to be having engaging conversations with our tribal nations. And I just feel like one of the best ways to do that in the House where I serve is to invite our community into our space and really start it off in a way that I'm familiar with, and doing it in a way that, you know, helps our community hopefully really be seen, valued and heard in our space of decision making.
So should I bring a hand drum or should I just bring my moccasins?
I mean, bring it all, right? You can bring your hand drum.
Oh, good one. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Maybe we can get Ogama to come down from the deep north with her newborn, and who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know about newborn. She'd probably be putting her feet down to dance a little bit here. She's almost walking now. She'll be a year in March. So.
Oh, my God.
I love that. And I do hope that people bring, you know, their kids, you know, really. I mentioned it here and I've said it a couple other times. I think, you know, ICWA is my number one priority in this session. I was licensed ICWA for many years and loved a lot of babies in my home, and know that we are in a time that our states really need to step up to protect our next generations. And so I hope our kids come. I hope that our kids come into the space and they see us as leaders coming together, uplifting, you know, voice and change for them and their future generations. And so, yeah, if you have little ones, make sure that you bring them, because I believe in representation. And I think it's really important that our next generation, you know, not only sees us, but knows us and celebrates in spaces with us, alongside us.
Wow, what a great point. Seriously. I remember going there on tour as a young person during school. So maybe we should reach out to some schools out there like American Indian Magnet and those schools and have them come down too. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and not only on the first day, but just throughout the entire session, there's a whole lot of, you know, bills and conversations that we have both on the Senate and House side and committees and what that process looks like. And we're on the House floor and you can sit up in the gallery. You know, I never stepped foot in the Capitol before I got elected. And I think I'm not alone in that. You know, this isn't a place that's necessarily welcoming for us. You know, we don't see a whole bunch of our tribal schools showing up in buses to spend a day as like the life of a legislator. And again, it's that subliminal messaging that if we don't spend time in those spaces and recognize those spaces, you know, we're not going to be in those spaces. And we absolutely have to be at the table of decision making. And so you're right. I think it starts with, you know, bringing your classes. Wednesday mornings, I don't have any committees, and I'll put it out there. If there's any Indian education programs in this region that want to come and spend time and see what we do, I would absolutely make time for that. You know, my heart is in education. I was a liaison for a long time. And I think opening that door and being welcoming is how we make change in the future.
Wow. Excellent. Excellent point. And again, the round dance, anyone can come because we have a ton of white people listening to the show that really like to support us. So anyone can come, but let's get the natives out there and get your ribbon skirts on, and I'll bring my hand drum, and maybe I'll bring that Vikings color ribbon shirt of mine, seeing that they're doing so well and I'm such a homer.
I love that shirt. Yes, you should. Yeah, and also, you know, I want to continue to spread the message that as we go into this work, that though we're in a trifecta, and I know a lot of people come to the table, and, you know, Minnesota's going to move in all these progressive ways, you know, I just want to caution us that we continue to pause and make sure that we're not missing our tribal nations. You know, I think often we move forward really quickly, and quick bills can be great, but I think being, you know, really efficient and effective and making sure that our tribal nations and our tribal communities aren't being missed in this momentum is really something that I hope to do. We have our Native American Legislative Caucus that we come together regularly, not only to move our bills forward that we're working on, but also to play defense and make sure we're not, you know, slipping anything through that could actually create more harm for our communities. So we're a team. As we're back in session, I hope to be back and give you all updates, because I do think it's important at this network and this space to be able to share out, you know, how do we make these ideas into law? How do we implement them? And how do we need you as community members to join us in testifying and uplifting why those changes are so important?
You know, I'm pretty excited, too. We have another young one like yourself up in Duluth coming down here and working mm-hmm. hardcore with you. And I'm excited to see the work that she's going to be able to do.
Yeah, it's really interesting to have more people at the table. Like, even adding just one more Indigenous legislator helps us, you know, sit at more tables across the board. I know that Representative-elect Kozlowski, you know, is really powerful in housing, and that's an area that I'm passionate about, but can't sit at that table. So, you know, it's always nice to have those different spaces. We got our committee assignments, and so I am appointed as the vice chair of Children and Family Services. And then I also am sitting on Human Services because we dissolved the Preventing Homelessness Division that we had last session that I was the vice chair of. So I hope to continue to be a voice to make sure, you know, I really believe that nobody should be homeless, but we should definitely not be homeless on our homelands. So working in that capacity, but then also serving, you know, our littles and our next generation.
Well, we have less than a minute, Heather, and I want to make this statement. I hope with that $17 billion that we can help our homeless, too, and in a good way, not just throw money at it, but be really, like you said, really thoughtful about it.
Well, homelessness is only an outcome of systematic you know, oppression. And so we can put houses everywhere. If we don't actually dissect and fix the system and the people who are making the decisions in the system, we're going to have a long haul. So this is your thought process in the future. Get involved. I encourage everybody all the time. You know, there's always opportunities to step up, whether it's in your local PTACs, whether it's your Indian Education Parent Committees, thinking about running for office. You know, really, we need to be advocates in those spaces. And I tell, used to tell my kids all the time, there's going to be a moment in your life when you have to step up and step out, and it is going to take a whole lot of courage. And I hope all of you take a moment to find the courage and step up, because now is the time that we need to show up.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. The magical Brazilian soccer star Pelé has died.
Rivelino, and it's Pelé! He's got it! Pelé has scored! And that is Brazil's 100th goal in the World Cup.
Pelé won 3 World Cups. He suffered from colon cancer and was 82 years old. Southwest Airlines plans to resume normal operations tomorrow after several days of flight disruptions. Corliss King with the Flight Attendants Union says this had little to do with the weather.
Something that we have consistently pushed management for is improvements in our technology.
If you plan to travel this coming weekend,
as we move into New Year's Day, things are better in the east. Active weather is still going to bring you slowdowns at the airport and on the roads across parts of the west. And then we get into next week, the new year, a significant severe weather threat shaping up across the Mid-South.
That's meteorologist Alex Wilson at the Weather Channel. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Wisconsin taxpayers paid $76,000 for Fred Prenn's legal fight to stay on the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board. Prenn is stepping down tomorrow after staying on the policy board a year and a half after his term expired. The Wisconsin State Journal got a hold of invoices through an open records request. They included state payments to Prenn's lawyer. Fort McCoy is getting $70 million from the new federal omnibus spending bill to fix up barracks at the Western Wisconsin Military Base. $38 million will pay for repairs to the barracks for enlisted men and women. The rest goes to the officers' barracks. More than 77,000 troops trained and mobilized at Fort McCoy this past year. In sports, the Bulls beat the Bucks last night 119-113. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands, seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
With a low of 12, then sunshine Friday with a high of 21.
Whether you're dining in or dining out, Eat Local Minnesota restaurants and food purveyors will make your next meal one to remember. Visit the full list of Eat Local Minnesota restaurants and food purveyors at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, just a reminder, everybody, open enrollment for MNsure is closing at the end of the year. You want to make sure to get over to MNsure.org to get help and to find health insurance that you can afford. Again, that's MNsure.org.
Hey, I also, Ogum, I want to get a quick reminder that Native Roots Trading Post downtown Minneapolis is now in its new hours, the last 2 weeks that it's open, Tuesday through Saturday. Come on down 10 to 6 and pick out some Native art. And speaking of which, Native art, we have Robert Lilligren here, who's, I think, a piece of work or a piece of artwork here, huh? Or one of the both. Oh, yeah. Haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. It's great to... Great to see you again. You're all rested after your vacation up north. Awesome to see you, Robert.
Yeah, bonjour. Hey, Ogama. Hey, Robert. Nice to see you both. Looking good. And yeah, it's been kind of nice having a few weeks off. And I got to tell you, as I age, I'm getting much better at sort of taking that time you need to rejuvenate and to relax. And at our organization, NACD, you know, our busiest time is from about June to November. So we're all, I close the office down for the end of the year so everyone can get a little breather. So I'm feeling good.
You know, that's funny. It's really stuck with me. And I think it was like our last show that we were on and we were talking about mental health and how you take care of your workers. That's really, really stuck with me, what you said.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, and this was really taught to me from... a local elder, Linda Eagle Speaker, and from her tradition. But at the beginning of COVID, she was coaching a lot of leaders or Native organizational leadership in just sort of how to get through this. And it was really intense and rewarding experience. And what she taught me and really taught me was that the Indigenous approach is to take care of yourself first, your family second, and your community or your organization third. And I got to tell you, I really pushed against that. I'm like, oh, we're Indigenous. We care for the whole. And she says, just kept repeating it calmly in her way. You know, take care of yourself first, your family second, your community third. And her argument was, how can you take care of the community if you're not taking care of yourself and your family? And so I finally believed her and really embraced that. And that NACD, we've embraced it. And I got to tell you, it's amazing to see how it has amplified our energy, our capacity exponentially. And that's kind of the secret joke is, you know, that now we're getting more out of all the incredibly talented Native professionals that work at NACD because they're taking care of themselves first, their families second, and then the organization third. It's like almost a miraculous or mystical kind of response.
That's amazing, and it almost gives you a pause to think about the 4-day week that people have across the world that we don't, because we're all crazy about the money and the dollar.
Right. And at NACD, I always say, manage your schedule. As long as the work gets done, I don't care if you work one day a week, you know. But manage your schedule. But I don't think folks have quite embraced that yet. So maybe we'll have to get a little more formal about a 4-day week. But when we work, you know how we work at NACD. I mean, our folks work hard.
Yeah.
And they work a lot. And so, yeah, this approach has been really something. I'll tell you that. This shifting to this Indigenous approach of taking care of yourself first. Go for it.
I like coming in and going, oh, you guys have switched seats. You know, right. Like people move around every week. And that's cool.
Right. So folks, our office is tiny, right? We don't even actually have enough desks for everyone that works. We only have 10 people that work there full time. But, and so that was another benefit of COVID. I'll tell you, folks learned how to work remotely. They learned how to go to where they were are most productive to work, which isn't always in the office. And so we do what I think some folks call hotel desking, where it's a sort of open desks and people, if they're in the office, they grab a desk and work there. So, yeah. Yeah. So it's very fluid.
Ogama was laughing there. Is hotel hotel office a funny one for you, Ogama?
Hotel office is a funny one for me because I do work from home. So I hotel office my house. Sometimes I'm at the kitchen table and sometimes I'm in my office here and sometimes I'm on the couch. And, you know, sometimes I'm working like from one of the bedrooms because that's the quietest place to be. So, yeah, I'm pretty familiar with that. And if any of you have been listening to Native Roots Radio for a while, I used to have a closet office that I worked in. Broadcasted out of before we moved last year. So and this office that I'm in now in our new place is also quite small, and I might call it a office. It's not large enough to count as a bedroom. So I'm pretty familiar with that. I've just never heard it called hotel desking.
Yeah. And that's just a term I picked up somewhere, but I love that. I love clophus too. I think I'll pick that up, Ogama, and use that. It was hard for folks because a lot of people feel like, you know, to be at work means being at your desk, at your computer, you know, 9 to 5 or whatever. And so it was something to learn that, you know, to go to where you are most productive. And as you know, Robert, because you've been in our offices a lot, they're very open, very public. Our organization is very permeable to the community. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of disruptions throughout the day, which I love. Because that's us engaging with community in another way. And but for folks who are trying to get some writing done or something, it's kind of disruptive. And so now we know if you want to need some peace and quiet, go to your clophus at home, you know,
Well, you know, it's funny when COVID hit, I don't know if you remember the timeline. I was teaching high school, and when COVID hit, we were on strike. St. Paul Public Schools was on strike. The governor said, come back so you don't, we're closing the schools, come back or so you have your health care. We came back. And then I had to, Robert and Ogama knows this really well, I had to walk, go for a walk every morning before I got behind my computer and taught. So all these things, and I still do now, get out and walk an hour every morning before I get going with things, unless I'm in Black River Falls or something. But wow, change.
Yeah, change, huh? Yeah. Good for you walking every morning, Robert. I'm really impressed. My husband, Steve, walks 20,000 steps a day. He does a morning walk. I know. a lunchtime walk.
And I don't even know if I do that when I'm in New York. And you know how you walk around in New York City. Seriously.
Yep. So that's what your iPhone's for. You got to check and see how many steps you've taken today.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, definitely. Well, I got 12,000 in today. But
nice.
But 20, I'm still in shock.
Yep. That's his goal. And he makes it pretty much every day.
Yeah. And Ogama, you know, she switches not only offices, she switches offices once in a while, too. Her and her husband, significant other, flip a coin and they switch offices, and it always looks a little different, too. But I forgot all about the closet she was in for darn near a year. That's right.
Yeah. You could just see the door and the little posters I had on it behind me. And occasionally the kids would get out of hand and I'd have to knock on the door behind me to tell them to be quiet. You know, it was like that.
I'm kind of the same way, Ogama. I don't have dedicated workspace. I'm working on a little portable computer table that has just got me through the last few years, and I move around a lot. We only have 2 bedrooms, and the other one is a dedicated office for my husband, and so I float everywhere. I'm in my bedroom right now because it's where I have the best sound and stuff, but I'll work in the living room. I work at the kitchen counter a lot. So I was, yeah. I'm always kind of sensitive to what I call my tableau, you know, what's going on behind me here. So when I sit on the kitchen island, it's all my Christmas tree and lights and stuff. I look like I'm in Santa's, you know, workshop or something.
Well, Jolene gave me one of those really cool posters. And of course, Christmas came along and my he knew my oldest daughter wanted it, so I had to give it to her. And now I wonder if you guys have any of those stashed down there, the Billy Jack.
We just made one of the boat, the Native boat posters.
It's the which one, the with the young reservation dog.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, I'm guessing we do if you stop in. We probably have a few. Jolene, I love that one. I have that sticker on my computer on the back of my laptop here.
Yeah, that's an awesome one. So we only got a couple minutes this segment. It's kind of fun just catching up, on the air. And we always, it's fun because people talk about our show, and you're a huge part of it, Robert, along, of course, with Ogama, is that it's kind of a discussion. It's kind of a laid back, kind of how's it going, and, talking about things. And maybe the last segment of the day, we can talk about some news, about some political news that's going on around. Okay. We had State Representative Heather Keeler on earlier. And The round dance is going to be happening up at the Capitol, and I'm excited.
I can't wait. I'll be there, too. That is going to be really exciting.
Yeah, and Ogama won't be there. But, it's a hard one, but, we'll get a t-shirt or something for her and send it up to the deep north. But hey, let's take a quick break here. We're with Robert Lilligren, the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And, we're just like conversing, and, we'll talk a little politics here at local and national when we come back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up, and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh.
We're making Robert to howl again. I saw you howl with Wendy the first time. Appreciate that. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of the Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. just like what's going on here? We're going to have a trifecta here in Minnesota, and we're excited about that. We have $17 billion. Excited about that.
$17.6 billion.
Oh, geez.
Yep. Don't forget that $0.6 bill.
Yeah, no doubt. And I know we're excited for that. Now, you know, we have State Senator Mary Kunish on almost every Friday, and it was hard for us, you know, and she's so positive and professional, but reading between the lines of with the Senate being Republican and the House being Democrat, and of course a Democratic governor, it was hard to get things done.
Oh yeah. And it's not going to be easy street, even with the trifecta, but it's a lot more, I'm a lot more optimistic. And, you know, the state budget surplus continues to go up. And in early December, they announced it's going to be $17.6 billion. I think when they first started talking, it was more in the single digits of the billions. And first, I want to put out there, having been in government myself, I feel like budget surplus is a misnomer. And there's always more need than the resources that we have. So I don't really view it as a surplus, but it does give us some hope that some of our priorities will be funded. And in the Native community, you know, in the urban community here, we have this effort called the Urban Indian Legacy Initiative, UILI or ULE. And Dr. Joe Hobart of the American Indian OIC has been a huge leader in this. And it's to get our organizations capitalized. You know, we have aging facilities and facilities that are falling apart and inadequate to serve our community. And so we're looking at this surplus as an opportunity to really come in. There's 15 Native orgs that are part of the Urban Indian Legacy Initiative. I think we're promoting 12 or 13 projects. And with a $17.6 billion surplus, we feel like it's time to fully fund all of those projects. So we'll be meeting with the governor early in the session to try to move that forward and get the governor and lieutenant governor on board advocating for that full funding of these capital projects.
That's exciting. And I, you know, that's so unique across Turtle Island, I think. And we have representation, which is really exciting. And, you know, your good friend, the lieutenant governor, is almost, you know, I couldn't tell you years ago who the lieutenant governor was. You know what I mean? Right. It was like and then we had one that wasn't a Democrat, it was a Republican, you know, just a mess. But this one, Peggy is almost like a vice governor, you know?
That's a really good way to put that, Robert. And I'd say, you know, during our former governor, Governor Mark Dayton, and his lieutenant governor was Tina Smith, who's now our senator. And that really elevated that role of lieutenant governor into more of a, not quite, but sort of a co-governing model. But I will say Governor Waltz and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan have lifted that up much higher. And I remember back when, you know, they complement each other very well. They represent sort of the political spectrum on the Democratic side, or here it's called the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, the DFL. They complement each other. They really bring two bases together really well. But I remember when they first announced their campaign, they did it at the Minneapolis American Indian Center.
I was there too.
Yeah, cool. And that was their campaign kickoff. And I had made a mental note to myself that I wanted to hear the words co-governing out of their mouths during that kickoff event. And I thought to myself, okay, if I don't hear that, I'm going to reach out to Peggy Flanagan and say that needs to come front and center in your approach and in your messaging. But sure enough, when they were talking to the crowd, they're the very enthusiastic crowd. They used the word co-governing several times. And I thought, okay, that satisfies me. And I feel like they've really taken that approach and that they've been able to amplify their impact because of it.
Yeah, it's fun too, because Peggy trained Walls way back in the day with
Wellstone Action.
Thank you. I couldn't think of it. Yeah. Isn't that? And then that was brought up that day too. And she brought it up a lot during the first campaign.
Yeah, that she trained a lot of folks that are in elected office or that have been. She was a trainer for Wellstone Action, of course, an institute that honored our late Senator Paul Wellstone here. And Becky was very active there. But when I served on the Minneapolis City Council, I think the second term I was there, three of the members emerged from that same class, or at least two of them that Tim Walz was part of, that Peggy trained them all. You know, and then they went on to successfully win elections. Of course, Governor Walz was a congressman from Minnesota CD1 first, and that was his first run for office.
Well, I see them around, and we, and the governor knows me because I come around a lot, and you can't really fake that relationship they have. It's a legitimate relationship, and I just want to say that. Robert, I want to back up a second, too, because for me, it's always good to have some ammunition when people say, oh, you know, you should give the money back, you know, when it comes to the $17 billion. I heard something really interesting that I want to ask you about and have you comment about. With that money, that's not just taxpayers. That's businesses that are having banner years that are correct.
Yep, it's higher than expected collections and lower than expected expenditures. So you're exactly right. It comes from a number of sources. I suspect that there will be some kind of refund that goes out to most households or families. I suspect that will be part of crafting some kind of agreement, you know, across the aisle. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. But you're exactly right. There's different sources.
Well, it's funny, too. We've done really well besides having, you know, dealing with COVID, which the lockdown is not that long ago.
Right. And so things, you know, things are changing. We're coming back to life. So it's going to be an interesting year. It's been, what, I'm trying to remember, 15, 16 years since we've had the trifecta, since the governor and both houses in Minnesota have been under one Democratic control. So wow. Something's going to happen. And within the caucuses, the majority and minority caucuses in both our Senate and House, three of the four caucuses are led by women for the first time in our history.
Wow.
So, you know, progress, right? It's progress.
That's good, you know, and we know as natives that the women do lead the way and we need to support them. And so that's good to see.
Yep, it's very good. I'm very excited to see what happens.
Well, we're winding down the show here. Nationally, I don't know. The Republicans are fighting, and that's good to see.
Yeah, they have a real leadership battle on their hands. Yeah. I was just reading a couple of commentaries today that if McCarthy even gets to 200, what is it, 208? Is that what he needs to?
Yeah.
208 to get that, he will very unlikely end the session as the speaker. He may start it as the speaker. And then there's the whole George Santos scandal out of New York's 3rd Congressional District, which is fascinating. As they get into his finances, there might be something criminal that would keep him from getting into office. But I will point this out with the Republican Party. You know, they're very tolerant of crooks and operators. And then Trump just opened that wide open. So it's almost become like a refuge for petty criminals and petty crooks and people working in their own self-interest to go there. It kind of washes you clean, right? It gives you some legitimacy, but they welcome those folks in with open arms. And I do not think that bodes well for our democracy.
Well, he made $55,000 a year ago, and then all of a sudden he had $11 million in assets after 1 year.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
How do you do that?
I would like to know.
Right. Well, wow. Well, Robert, really great to have you on again. And we've missed you. And
I missed you.
Yeah. And this is always a high point of my week. And having state senator, I always want to say state senator. And I think I want Heather to be senator now. So, say
maybe
representative.
She's on that path, huh?
She's a doer. She's a doer for sure. And we're excited about that and having her on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're here with Robert Lilligren and Ogma Pinigigi for All You Do, and of course, State Senator...
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it!
We did. Well, we're almost
it.
We almost did it.
We're still going to get through today. But we did it. We lived to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.